Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. Our message today, an acquired taste. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, the 24th through the 35th verses. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." They said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." It is festival time, and a large crowd has followed Jesus and his disciples. The Lord has performed arguably his greatest miracle, the feeding of 5,000, those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and it was a crowd pleaser. Everybody has their bellies full, and later, Jesus performed another astonishing miracle, walking on water, though for some reason only the disciples saw that. The crowds who stayed through the evening missed it. Perhaps it was dark or they were otherwise occupied. But the next day, the crowd is busily searching for Jesus. They don't realize he's on the other side of the lake. When they discover him, they ask the question, "Rabbi, when'd you get here?" There's a bit of reproach in their question. Instead of answering, Jesus does what he always does. He goes straight to the heart of the matter. He exposes the real reason this crowd is searching him out. "You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." God's miracles are never ends unto themselves. They always point to a bigger truth. God knows us, what we want, and more importantly, what we need. And those are the 2 points from that moment that Jesus had with the crowd. He knew what the people were looking for, and he knew what they needed. The miraculous provision of food on the other side of the lake was meant to point to the food that endures. The food from the Son of Man to whom God has given his seal. There is this engaged back and forth that seems to be going on between Jesus and this crowd. Now, these are earnest, hardworking people. They're farmers. They long for God, but they don't know it. The world has always longed for God, but doesn't know it. Humans have always searched for fulfillment and satisfaction, for gratification that is a result of desire or need. The crowd wants to know what they must do to get this miraculous food. But Jesus tells them, don't work for the food that perishes, work for the food that endures. And when they ask what kind of work, his answer is simple and profound: you must believe. The term believe in the Bible means more than agreeing something is true. Most folks say they believe in Jesus, but this is not just about believing in Jesus. This is believing Jesus. Jesus says, I'm talking about eternal life. And even those of us who are in the church, who have been on this spiritual journey, can fall short of understanding the depths of this belief to which Jesus refers. The bread metaphor that Jesus uses is brilliant because bread is a basic sustenance, a symbol of food, a necessity. You need food to live. It gives you the necessary carbohydrates, the fibers, the nutrients, the minerals. When Jesus mentions food, the group at the lake remembers the story of Moses who gave the Israelites manna from heaven. The crowd wants Jesus to do what Moses did. They want a steady downpour of manna, but Jesus says you've missed 2 points in that story. First of all, Moses didn't give that food. God gave out that food because all good gifts come from God. We look back on our lives and we think about all the good that mama gave us or daddy gave us or we got ourselves, but all good things come from God. And then you need to remember that Jesus tells them that this food that I'm talking about is not for your belly, it's for your spirit, the true source of life. Jesus says, now, get to know me. I am the bread of life. I am here to fill you up with what you truly need. And quiet as it's kept, it's what you desire. But again, you have to ponder what he means. The food he's talking about is not just about what you think you need. It's about what God knows you need. In order to understand what Jesus is talking about, to appreciate the food of which he speaks, you must develop an acquired taste. An acquired taste, by definition, is a taste that comes through experience, contact, participation. It's associated most time with the appreciation of food or beverage that is unlikely to be enjoyed by someone who has not had substantial exposure to it. You see, there's a consistent action involved in this acquiring. My son Nick grew up on McDonald's and pancakes. Now, I hate to say that because you would want me to cook great meals for a child, but I was a television news reporter and I wasn't a great cook. And Nick loved McDonald's. He would go to McDonald's all the time, and Nick loved to go anywhere for pancakes, and he learned to make them himself. But as he grew older and older, I was worried that he would never acquire a taste for anything a little bit more involved until he went away to school in New York. Now he's 17, 18 years old. But the more he is exposed to something else, the more he begins to understand and want and desire something else. So I met him that first semester in New York, and he actually took me to a sushi restaurant. I couldn't believe it. And as he grew and grew and grew, he had more interesting choices. Nick had developed an acquired taste for more sophisticated food. It's not too different on the spiritual level. The key here is the word more. The song says, more about Jesus I would know, more of his grace to others show, more of his savings fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more of his love who died for me. An acquired taste is spiritual growth. Now, you probably have noticed, if you have been listening to my sermons over the last few weeks, that I talk a lot about spiritual growth. But I think it's important for us as Christians to know there is never a point where we can be satisfied with where we are. Because our whole goal is to get to know more about Jesus, to grow closer to Jesus. And in that growing and knowing, you have to learn how to make better decisions and choices day to day, because you are a follower of Christ 24/7. And if you have developed this intimate relationship with Christ, you'll notice that you'll be able to make choices and decisions much easier. We tend to think of intimate on the natural level. This is not about physical intimacy. This is spiritual intimacy. King David was spiritually intimate with God. He knew through his day-to-day experiences, through his mistakes, through his stumbles, through his fall, through his sin, but he knew that only God's love could satisfy his heart's deepest longings. Because your love is better than life, he said, my lips will glorify you. Now, we know that David was not perfect, but no matter what he did, he always managed to circle back to God. So, as you go along your life's way, as you grow in your spiritual journey, always remember to circle back to God. Remember where God spoke to you last. Remember when God touched you last. Always circle back. And in this, you can become more intimate with God. This intimacy actually began at the cross because Jesus paid the penalty for sin with his death. You can be saved and you can still be relationally distant from God. Oh God, our God, earnestly do we seek you. Our soul longs for you. Our body thirsts for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You need to engage God. You need to call on God. You need to pray. You need to have a daily meditation. The more you engage God, the more you learn to trust God. Intimacy cannot exist without trust. Trust cannot grow without intimacy. The more trust and intimacy grows, the more your desire for God grows. The reason you desire God is because you have some of God inside you. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire beside you. An acquired taste is a taste for who we really in part are. We're in the image of God. The more we desire God, the more we take God in. And there are just countless rewards of this growth. Your spiritual senses are awakened. The Holy Spirit is no longer a concept or an idea. The Holy Spirit becomes real. As you grow more intimate with Christ, you can see the unseen better and clearer. Your faith increases because God will increase your faith. Your understanding of God's nature dramatically increases. Spirit comes to the Word. Scripture comes alive with meaning. There was a name in 19th century China for people who came to church because they were hungry for material food. They were called rice Christians. The situation was so dire in the 19th century that they converted, were baptized, joined the church, remained active members as long as their physical needs were met through the generosity of the congregation. But once their prospects improved and they and their families no longer needed rice, they drifted away from the church. We need to crave the spiritual food of Christ. That's the soul food. That is food which lasts forever and does not change with the changing circumstances of the world. That is the acquired taste that comes in your continual journey with a living God. I pray for you an acquired taste. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will rain if you let love.